on AM 1130 by 99.9 FM, Prescott, Chino Valley, and Paulden 95.5 FM, Prescott Valley and Cottonwood, the talk of the Quad Cities, KQ&A, it's
Hammer Time.
Waking up with the YCCA. Hammer Time is brought to you by Lawhorn Plumbing, Verde Valley Alarm Services, Permit Pushers, Prescott Home Safety, Greenlee Designer Surfaces, Get Right Mitigation, Franklin Plumbing, The Blind Brothers, Caltex, Vicente Landscaping, Barrett Propane, and Badger Roofing. And now from the studios of KQ&A, it's Hammer Time, waking up with the YCCA. Here's the Executive Director of the Yavapai County Contractors Association, Sandy Griffiths.
Hey, everybody. Good morning. And Mike.
Yes.
We're still deja vu, but only for three more days.
Well, it depends on what day you're listening to us.
Well, today is Saturday.
Okay.
And we're deja vu because we're still in June.
Yep.
Tomorrow, Sunday, we're deja vu. We're 29. Still in June. The 30th, we're not recording. So tomorrow, we'll be out of deja vu.
Okay. I'm with you.
Okay, cool. So, and the rodeo starts Monday the 30th?
Correct.
Have you gotten your QR code tickets yet?
Not the QR code, but I'm waiting to get the actual tickets themselves.
Okay.
Paper tickets.
No, there are no paper tickets.
Well,
it's email.
Yeah, but I think this is a sponsor ticket, so we'll see.
So, listeners, if you missed our show last weekend, it was just over the top fantastic. We had Kim Lopez, the president of the Frontier Days Rodeo, with us, and Mr. Rex, the vice president. What a show.
It was a good show.
It's a great show. It was so funny. We had great conversation. So I hope you're all ready to rodeo up, because the first, I want to call it a presentation, performance.
Performance.
is July 30th, and the last performance is July 6th.
Correct. Sunday.
So anyway, we've got a great show this morning. Everybody, get rodeoed up, get ready to go, and have a great weekend. Fourth of July, we'll be here soon.
You bet. Speaking of last week's show, I'm sure our listeners out there have a burning desire to know if indeed you went to the splash pad.
No, I'm waiting, because Kim said we're going to go after the rodeo so she could bring her grandkids, and so I won't look out of place.
Oh,
like
okay.
An adult standing under the splash pad waiting for the water to come out.
I was
out.
A little bit concerned about that,
yes.
So that will work.
Yes, that will work. So anyway, I will be a splasher.
Diva. A splash diva.
A splash patter. So anyway, we've got a great show this morning. We're going to talk about electricity. We're going to talk about the 2024 IRC code with electrical code requirements.
Mm-hmm.
Some of them you're not too happy with, so we will share
You'll
those.
You'll have to explain that.
You will have to explain why you're not happy. That's your job to do. I'm just going along for the ride. So all is well. The weather's cooled off a little bit.
It has, which I'm not disappointed in.
Me neither. I wonder when we'll have rain.
Well, we'll ask our guests, because I think they're in charge of it.
Of the rain?
Yes.
Okay, perfect. We will do that. Take us to break, and when we come back, we will meet our super cool, supercharged.
That was good.
Was that not good? Our electrifying guests.
And you'll be able to put two and two together and understand why that's so good.
They're electricians.
So without being cryptic anymore, you're listening to Hammer Time, brought to you by Yavapai County Contractors Association. And we're airing on Talk of the Quad Cities, KQ&A 1130 AM, 99.9 FM, and in Cottonwood and Prescott Valley, 95.5 FM. So please stay tuned for some great messages from our ever-so-valuable sponsors. Fill up that cup of coffee or grab that OJ, and we'll be right back.
You're listening to Hammer Time, waking up with the YCCA, a presentation of the Yavapai County Contractors Association. Once again, here's your host, Sandy Griffiths.
Hey, everybody. Good morning and welcome to Hammer Time, brought to you by YCCA. So our guests with us this morning, we have Michael McCartney, Metal Clad Electrical. Electrical. And Joe Gleekell is an employee of Michael's, and we're going to talk about electricity.
Perfect.
So
and?
What do you, and codes.
There you go.
So, Michael, congratulations. He's expecting their fourth baby next month.
Wow.
Baby boy.
Thank you.
Way to go.
Yeah.
Four.
So, how boys and girls?
No, all four boys.
All boys.
All boys.
The fourth boy.
All boys.
Do you have a name picked out?
We're leaning towards Arlen.
Arlen.
Mm-hmm.
What are the other critters? What are their names?
So we have Atticus, Kaladin, Owen, and Arlen.
Okay.
Gotcha.
That doesn't spell anything, does it?
I never thought about that. I hope not.
Well, congratulations, my friend.
Thank you.
So what's going on in the world of electrical and electricity? Are you keeping busy?
Yes, we are. We had to put a job off to come out here today.
Wow.
Which is... You know, great for us. Sorry to the customer.
Dear customer, thank you.
Yes.
We'll be okay.
So you're keeping busy.
Yes, ma'am.
There's a lot of calls for electrical work.
Quite a bit. And you know what? Thank you for the recommendations.
Yeah, you've helped us quite a bit. I really appreciate it.
And, we appreciate it.
The customers do call me back and say how wonderful and charming you both have been.
Good.
And that they'd like to adopt you. Okay, so Joe, how long have you been in the electrical field?
So I started working for one of the bigger electrical contractors in Prescott in 2023. So I was with them for almost 2 years, and then I started working for Michael in February
okay.
this year.
Terrific.
Yep.
So a smaller, homegrown company suits you better than a larger electrical company.
There were a few distinguishing factors that I was looking at.
It's, perfect.
First of all, like we've known each other for a little while, so it's not like he just found me on the side of the street.
Okay.
I poached him.
Oh, you did? Whoa.
They treated me really well, but I knew Michael and I knew that he was starting his company. And when he asked me if I wanted to come help him out, I thought it'd be a good opportunity to continue learning new things and to potentially be a part of growing something. And it's been really cool.
Perfect.
So far. So.
Super.
So do you want to be an electrician when you grow up?
When I was a kid, I don't know that I wanted to be an electrician, but I definitely was always screwing around with stuff I shouldn't have been.
I think every guy was.
Yeah, and I'm going back to school in August to become an electrical engineer. So.
Oh, perfect.
Very good.
So, I like electricity, I guess.
Well, we need an electrical engineer living among us. Hurry up and get to school and graduate.
Yeah.
That's a big task you just are going to take on.
Yeah. Yeah.
So double E major, that's over at the college?
So it's going to be with ASU online.
Okay.
I went to ASU years ago and just never finished, and this is my opportunity to go back and finish something. So
do you still then work for Michael part-time?
Yeah, so it doesn't start until August,
okay.
But I'm doing school part-time. So
okay.
Honestly, with the way that we've been scheduling-wise thus
okay.
far, I've been,
perfect.
I think it'll be all right.
Okay, good. So what's new in the electrical world, Michael? Anything?
I'm just trying to keep my head above water with work and Mickey and the rest of the children. Having Joe is a great help because, Mickey...
Mickey was your wire puller and your woman of all great things.
The office manager extraordinaire.
Yes.
And a little bit of a high-risk pregnancy this time. Well, every time. But having Joe, I've been able to, hey, man, Mickey needs some help. You're on your own.
Okay.
And having someone that I can trust.
You bet.
That makes a huge difference.
And
Mickey's really appreciated, that I can go home. And so the ages are 5, 4, and 1.5.
Yeah.
So she's at the point where the 1.5-year-old has figured out if he just lays down, she can't get him. So he'll grab something off the counter, run, and just go flat. So being able to...
That's funny.
Yeah. Wrangle the children.
So what type of projects are you working on? Do you do new home electrical wiring or repairs and retrofits? What do you like the best?
What do I like the best? I like custom homes and barns, RV garages. Those are what I like the best. Commercial style. You know, where I get to run my conduit and still do everything that an electrician, you know, a commercial electrician or industrial electrician gets to do.
Super.
We do a lot of custom RV garages right now.
Those are a big deal. Come every week.
Yeah. No. I mean, we're normally three or four jobs booked out.
Wow.
For these guys, and then we start to get caught up a little while, and then we get all the phone calls for the smaller stuff. You know, the retrofit, the you know, hey, I need this outlet moved, or, you know, we want a ceiling fan here. We love it all.
You know? So I'm curious, on the RV garages, are these after the house has been finished? Are these additions?
These are typically the house. Hey, you know what? Let's get this, you know, let's get this giant RV. Okay, but we need somewhere to store it.
Yep. Gotcha. Yeah.
What about, how's your permitting process for electrical?
It's rough right now because I started taking it over to give Mickey some time. Mm-hmm. And I'm learning all the minutiae that she was so good at.
Yeah.
And I mean, I think I've got the hang of it now. You know.
So we're having July 16th, we're having a lunch with the City of Prescott Chief Building Official and Will West, the Development Services Operations Manager. It's no charge. I expect to see your butt in a seat.
You will.
Okay. And ask your questions.
Absolutely.
Okay, perfect. Joe, expect to see you there as well. I'm putting you down on the RSVP list.
If he tells me I got to be there, I'll be there.
Okay, perfect. I ordered, what are those little things called? Not smash burgers, little...
Sliders.
Sliders. Thank you, Michael. I ordered sliders for lunch.
Awesome.
Good.
I figured that you guys would be into sliders, potato salad, and whatever else.
Absolutely.
Cookies. Yeah, I got cookies for you. Okay, good. So I'm going to put you both down on the RSVP list. So let's talk about, Mike, some of the changes that are coming forward in the 2024 IRC for the electrical chapter. And these guys, we're going to take out on a roadshow all of the significant changes, so you'll be involved with that. But I thought, since we've got electricians here on the air, we should talk about a couple of these.
Sure, and so that the listening public understands, the code cycles are every 3 years, and the county and the city and the towns generally adopt every other cycle.
Right.
So right now we're on to 2018, so now we'll be looking at 2024. And if adopted by all the entities, that will most likely be effective around the first of the year.
January
of 2026.
So one of the most interesting changes and code changes, Michael and Joe, that's coming forward, and correct me if I'm wrong, Mike, my wingman, on new home builds starting January of 2026, when it's adopted, all new home builds will have a whole house surge protector installed right there at the new build. Mm-hmm. What do you think about that?
I think that's great. I mean, anytime that you can make the system safer for people and equipment, it's a win. You know.
We need to take a break, you guys, so hang on to that. It's a win thought, and we'll talk more about it when we come back. So, listeners, we have Michael McCartney, metal-clad electrical, with us, and Joe Glee Guy, with us, Mike and me and the engineer. Don't move. We'll be right back.
You're listening to Hammer Time, waking up with the YCCA, a presentation of the Yavapai County Contractors Association. Once again, here's your host, Sandy Griffiths.
Hey, everybody. Good morning, and thanks for tuning in to Hammer Time. We have with us two super cool electrical guys with us this morning. Before we went on break, we were talking with Michael, owner of Metalclad Electrical, and his sidekick, Joe, about surge protectors, a new code requirement coming out in the 2024 IRC. And you both think it's a great idea.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm.
So how would a homeowner know that they have one installed in their new home? And Mike, would you point that out at a walkthrough? And is there information that they're given on their surge protector?
I wouldn't necessarily wait till the walkthrough when we go through specification review up front for the bidding process. That's where I usually get into the details of what the bid includes.
So that would be a cost item.
So it would be a cost inclusion as opposed to an option.
Okay.
Well, and another way is the year that, you know, you bid off the code year, right? What year was it, you know, what code are you going off of? If you're going off of the 20 or 23 code, it's in there. You can't legally do it without that per NEC code.
But we're on the 2018 code, IRC.
Yeah.
All jurisdictions are.
Right.
But that doesn't mean you can't build to the current or, you know, the future code.
Correct.
There was, I believe, a local company that anytime they did a panel swap, they did it to the
current code.
Well, 20. They did it to the 20 or 23 code. I'm not sure which one. But there's a significant cost increase in that as well.
So let's talk about another change, Mike, that's just raising the hair on the back of your neck. Go. This is on air. Okay.
So.
Hold on, Michael and Joe.
And we probably ought to back up a little bit and explain that Sandy attends these meetings, and I happen to sit on the County Board of Adjustment and Appeals. And so we go through with the building department, we go through these proposals and discuss them before the municipality, in this case the county, implements them. So what they'll do is they'll make their recommendations to the Board of Supervisors, and then that will be the formal adoption process. So we just went through that about a week ago. So that's why this whole situation's on Sandy's
radar.
Top of the radar list. So having said all that, one of the things that really bugged me, and Michael and I agree based on something you said while we were off air, is that I believe that part of our jobs, both as general contractors and as subcontractors, is to look out for the best interests of our clients. And that doesn't necessarily mean that we should be making decisions for them, but we certainly ought to be giving them the, in my opinion, the information and the options to do certain things. Mm-hmm. And so I like to refer to it as looking out for their best interests. One of the changes in the new code that's proposed is that heretofore in islands in the kitchen, the face of the island, if it's over 4 feet, I think it is, has to have an outlet at the bottom, which is the same as you would find throughout the rest of your walls, interior and exterior. But that there's been a requirement for a single outlet, or if there's a sink, a double outlet, one on each end of that island bar.
So you can do either or? One in the face, or do you have to have an outlet on each end of the bar?
In the past, there had to be one on the face, but you had to have at least one on the end of the bar. But the code in their infinite wisdom said that, well, gee, some of these counters hang out maybe 10, 12 inches from the cabinets.
Right.
And so when somebody puts a small appliance on the counter and they loop that plug cord over the outlet, that's something that a child could come up and grab a hold of. So they're saying that you really should be putting surface mount pop-ups in there instead of the outlets on the ends of the counter.
And listeners, let me tell you, when we were at this meeting and we're going over these electrical changes, Michael and Joe, mm-hmm. and it came out verbally, surface pop-up outlets, Mike lost all the color.
I went berserk.
He did go berserk. I mean, so much so, we had to say, well, Mike, down. Stay
so
down.
I have installed those in the past and at people's wishes, and that's fine. But for mandating a surface mount versus the side, I just think is
he lost crazy. It.
No, I agree, right? And I mean, the amount of mechanical things that can go wrong over time on that, you know, because you're talking about retention springs,
yep. water, you know, that wear grease, out. Chicken well, soup.
Exactly, exactly, right? The yeah. first the first time yeah. that some chicken yes. soup or you
yeah,
know, some,
the outlet,
yeah, some yeah. tiki masala, you know, goes across the counter.
And I haven't ever seen that go over the end of the counter and down the counter.
Yeah, yeah that's
cabinet
right.
Face and short out an outlet in the end.
Now, it, to play devil's advocate, it, while you were talking about that, I saw each one of my children grabbing that cord yeah. and pulling the blender down on top of them.
I mean, it can happen.
Yeah.
But at what point do we start taking responsibility for everybody?
Yeah.
You know, I think we need, my opinion is we need to offer them, meaning the customers, the ability to utilize services to the best of their wishes.
Yeah.
So then it's evolved to where the end outlets aren't going to be required, but you will be required to at least run a conduit from the wall to the island counter. And the problem that I have with that is that if you run the conduit, number one, what size of conduit are you running for future pull purposes? And number two, running from the island back to the wall, where's that going to be on that wall? Is it going to end up being behind cabinets so
that's
that somebody's never going to be able to get access? Joe mentioned that it really should be in something like that behind a refrigerator space, which I totally agree with. I think that's a great idea. But it's just things like that that we discuss in those meetings with the county, and everybody kind of pools their ideas together and says, yeah, that makes sense. No, that doesn't make sense. Let's modify, because
yeah.
each municipality or entity has the ability to modify the code to adapt to what their wishes are for their municipality.
Yeah.
So now you can garner from this conversation, my wingman, Mike, you got a waiver from installing the pop-up. You don't have to do that. But you still need to run the conduit, which does not make him happy. Still, he's not happy. Well, what do you guys think about that?
I think if you could come up on consistency from subcontractor to subcontractor, right? I mean, could you guys put it in there that conduit stays behind the refrigerator?
We
so that
did
it's
not
there.
Discuss location, but that's
no.
a great idea.
Yep.
One of the things that we did come up with is because the concern was the amount of overhang, so we said, okay, let's say that it is permissible to use an outlet in the side of the island, providing that your countertop does not hang over the cabinetry below it more than an inch and a half. So that way you're not having a big loop of
yeah.
of cord going down. So I mean, those are the kind of compromises.
So, but that's taken away the wraparound breakfast bar that people want, right?
Oh, we talked about that.
It would just yeah. on the end.
Yeah.
You certainly could still have it in the face.
Yeah, on the face of
the overhang
it.
Of 12
yeah.
inches.
Yeah.
So.
Listeners, we have to take another break. I think we're at the bottom of our hour, aren't we, Engineer?
Yes.
Yes, we are. So when we come back, we're going to talk more about this outlet in the counter island dilemma thing, because I have a what-if situation. So listeners, don't move. We'll be right back with Michael from Metal Clad Electrical, Joe, his partner and great employee, my wingman, Mike, me, and the engineer.
You're listening to Hammer Time, waking up with the YCCA, a presentation of the Yavapai County Contractors Association. Once again, here's your host, Sandy Griffiths.
Hey, everybody. Good morning, and welcome back to the Countertop Island Pop-Up discussion.
Everything you've always wanted
debacle.
To know.
Debacle. There you go. Yeah, everything you always wanted to know. Okay, so you have a house plan. They're putting in an island. Uh-huh. Now you know what you have to do. Mm-hmm. You've got the, if they want to pop up, it's X amount of money. Do you charge them now for running the conduit? Is that a price in the home price?
It will be included in,
okay.
But I'm going to recommend to my clients and make sure that they understand, technically there's not going to be any electrical
correct.
Service in your countertop
correct.
Top or in the cabinetry on the sides.
But there will be in the front.
There will be in the front.
Right.
So if you would like to have outlets in the ends of your cabinet.
We can do that. It's X amount of dollars.
Or even in the face of the cabinet.
Right.
The front face, we can certainly do that.
However, if you don't want to do that, are you going to ask them if they want to run conduit for another process 2 years down the road? Should they change their minds?
They
or
won't
not
have
even,
a choice.
They won't have a choice.
It'll have to be done.
It has to be done. Are you going to tell them about that?
Sure.
Okay. Okay, so now you're building a new home and there is no kitchen island.
Mm-hmm.
They don't want one. However, a year and a half from now, 2 years from now, they're putting in a kitchen island. Now look at what happens.
Yep.
Da 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 da.
Mm-hmm.
Prices work.
Sounds to me like chipping out some concrete.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Had to do it.
That's exactly what you're going to have to do.
Whoa.
Yep, tear the floor up, chip out your path for any electrical you need over there. You know, or you,
put your conduit in.
At that point, you might as well put a sink over there. Yep. If you're already going to be in the floor, you know.
Good point. So the pop-up countertop discussion was pretty enlightening. We know where you stand. Michael and Joe, we know where you stand. Homeowners, be prepared. What was one of another change that, how about the GFI, we talked about with the refrigerator and the...
Oh, yes. Yep.
So talk about yep. that one.
Oftentimes when your garage is wired with a GFI circuit, there's a lot of people will tend to put a secondary refrigerator out there or freezer, and if you plug into that GFI circuit or GFCI circuit and the power for whatever reason trips that circuit, then you've just, if it doesn't come back on for quite some time and you don't notice it's out, people have lost literally hundreds of dollars of meat, whether it's frozen or refrigerated, because the appliance wasn't receiving electrical service. So one of the things that they've come up with is to allow for a non-GFCI circuit for that specific purpose.
Which I agree with 100%.
Absolutely.
We raise our own beef. There's some times we'll have market value over $1,000 worth of meat in our freezer.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't have that on a GFCI circuit.
Yep.
So a GFCI measures what goes in and what comes out of it. And it's supposed to react within 600ths of a second. And if you, if you understand, that's not much of an electrical fluctuation.
No.
Right.
If your refrigerator or freezer's got a couple years on it, and that motor kicks on, and it kicks on just a little squirrely this time,
it's popping that
yep.
circuit.
Yep.
So there, we talked about removing the tamper-resistant receptacles, but we're not doing that. We're leaving them in.
That's too bad.
Now, okay, and part of the conversation was coming from another electrical guy that they have been vastly improved and they're much easier to open and close and work with than they were when they first came out.
I hope so.
So you don't like them?
If they have been improved, I've got one in my house in my kitchen. And every time
What's it doing in your kitchen?
A tamper resistant?
Mine's outside. What's a tamper resistant outlet.
So it's got that little plastic thing where the blades go, and you have to force past it.
Oh, I don't have those.
Oh, yeah. Good for you.
Yeah, you wouldn't.
I would know.
Yeah,
you would
know.
So I have one in my kitchen, and it's actually one of the, it's six outlets that you plug into the normal outlet to get you a couple extra. Mm-hmm. I will take my blender somewhere else in the house, then fight that thing.
Yeah.
What do you think, Builder?
I agree. They are a pain in the neck, so to speak. And it seems like the more you use it, the easier it does, in my opinion, easier it is to use. But I'm not so sure that they are, while it may prevent unintended passage of a screwdriver or something else, I'm not so sure that the chances of that creating a problem are worth the effort to put in the tamper resistant.
Do they cost more?
Yep.
Like how much? Approximately.
It's not so much, in my opinion, it's not so much a matter of the cost, it's a matter of the convenience.
Okay.
Yeah. Because people will try and plug stuff in. What's wrong with this? Have I got my plug upside down? Is the tall side on the wrong side? No, it's on the right side. Why won't it go in?
Yeah. So maybe we should look at getting it removed. I mean, we heard it right here from another electrician. Okay, that's our mission.
So, and not that I don't get concerned about screwdrivers in the hands of a child going into an electrical outlet, although most of us, especially the guys, did that at one point or another in their childhood. But you do have the benefit of the circuit breaker to pop that circuit. So,
and if that's going to be an issue, then look at the placement of them. Right, right now GFIs have to be in bathrooms,
kitchens
any within a certain distance of water source.
Right,
if you want to keep the tamper resistant, require them for bedrooms. Places where a kid might be left alone to play.
Mm-hmm.
As opposed to a living room where, you're going to be sitting there while
supervised.
Yeah.
So then all outlets are tamper resistant per the code now, wherever you have one.
Wait, what?
I think that started in the 2020 or 23 NEC. I'm not sure about the IRC.
I think it's a 23.
23 in the IRC or NEC?
NEC.
Well, we're going to have to get that removed. That's on our mission.
I would agree.
Okay,
would
perfect. Agree. Michael, you agree?
Absolutely.
Joe, this is on air. Do you agree?
For every outlet? Yeah, I don't. I don't agree with that at all.
Perfect. Okay, you heard it right here.
And I think I think what you're thinking about on your patio was probably the
I thought that was
GFCI
the
GFCI outlet where it has the red button.
No, not that I don't have one of those on my patio. Huh. I have a big, hard-to-open plastic cover over my...
In-use cover.
Talking about an in-use cover.
Yeah.
What is that? I hate that thing.
It keeps it from water getting in there.
Yeah.
It's just outside.
A weatherproof outlet cover.
Oh.
So that you can have something plugged into it, and when a storm comes, the water doesn't get into the outlet.
Yeah.
So seriously.
not applicable for sideways rainstorms.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
I wonder what that was. I don't like it. I never open it. I just kind of kick it.
The bubble. Infamous bubble.
Cool. And I only have one. I guess that must be the only place I have an outside outlet.
I was going to say, yeah.
Must be.
It should be on all of them. Interesting.
Yeah. Okay.
We can fix that for you.
Nah, don't even think about it, buddy. Don't even think about it. Listeners, we're going to take a break, and when we come back, we are going to continue our super cool conversation with our super cool electrical guys. Don't move.
You're listening to Hammer Time, waking up with the YCCA, a presentation of the Yavapai County Contractors Association. Once again, here's your host, Sandy Griffiths.
You guys, this show has just gone lickety-split. So thanks for being with us. I want to talk about The county has introduced express permits. Mike, are you aware of this?
I was not aware of it.
I sent you an email. You must not have read it.
I must not have.
we've used that service before.
I know. I sent you an email, too. And electric panel replacement is on the express permit, and so is an electrical panel upgrade.
It is.
And you get the permit the same day.
You do. You get it instantly.
Yes.
Okay, I must confess, I just fibbed. Now that you're talking about that, I do remember the email. Because I went through the list of the things
to
that
see.
You're just talking about. Yeah.
And I said to them when I got this, oh my gosh, we need to add many more to this list. And Sandy, we're working on it.
One step at a time,
Grasshopper, one step at a time. But I'm happy that they did this.
Yeah,
it's pretty nifty.
That's great. We were going to replace a main breaker, a 200-amp main breaker on a pedestal, which is separate from the home. She was having nuisance tripping. I went out there with a brand-new breaker. I put it on. APS put the meter back in, and I heard the ever-fearful sizzling. And I called APS back. He pulled the meter. I pulled the breaker out, and you could see where it had already started burning. And I called the county, and within 15 minutes, they said, go ahead, replace that pedestal.
Wow.
Whoa.
Yeah, no, it was super quick.
So express permits, you know, same amp, same location for the panel replacement. HVAC you can do like for like. Propane tank like for like. Roof like for like. But I don't know why they do this, because the county doesn't have a roof permit. Mm-mm. Only you have to pull a permit if you exceed 100 square feet of sheathing. But let me tell you, nobody's counting that. Oh, my gosh. Electrical panel upgrade and a septic tank only repair. You get a permit quick. So what other permits would you like to see as express in the electrical field?
I mean, the panel.
We got it.
That's really
the
only thing
okay.
that would be a deal breaker for me, right? If someone loses whole home power and it's not a repairable, I don't want to admit it, but I've seen my old journeyman, you know, had to pull a permit and he's like, this is what we have to do just so you guys have power for the
yep.
night. And was it the safest thing ever? No, absolutely not. Was it an acceptable, you know, quick fix until they could get the city to do what needed to be done?
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
But
so,
now you don't have to worry about that.
No, not anymore. And I think that is great.
That's one of those things that falls into what we had quite a bit of discussion about this in the code meeting, is the word common sense.
Mm-hmm.
And this brings a lot of those items that, just as you said, that are necessities
yeah.
into the common sense realm.
So, listeners, if you want to know what other express permits or what you need to do, or for you contractors that are listening, you go to the Yavapai County website, and you can read all about it to your heart's content.
Used to be what we called over-the-counter, because you could take things
yeah,
like
but
that
over-the-counter took days.
Yeah, but it doesn't happen anymore. It used to literally be over-the-counter where you could walk in
right.
and get it done, but that's gone.
But now you can with the express permit.
Yep.
But over-the-counter is two weeks.
Are they getting rid of the over-the-counter, or is this just in an emergency
case? This is
case?
An emergency
that's
express.
What I mean.
Separate.
Yes,
yeah.
Totally separate. So, what else is going on with the electrical industry, the electrical field? What are homeowners doing, not doing, that they should be doing? Do you go do corrective action for owner builders?
We will. Kind of going along with what you'd mentioned earlier, Mike, my biggest concern, and what I refer to it as, is shooting your future in the foot.
Mm-hmm.
Because if I'm already going to be running conduit underground or running conduit overhead or putting any sort of infrastructure in place 5 years from now, is that conduit going to be big enough if you decide you want a 50-amp RV plug over there? Or, you know what? I just bought this fancy welder.
Mm-hmm.
You know, these are things that I can add $5, you know, $50 to the total now or in the future, you're looking at a few hundred dollars
yeah.
at the least.
So all of a sudden you have to cut out the drywall to get in there, put
yeah.
a bigger conduit in to pull your wire.
Mm-hmm.
So
okay,
absolutely.
So what size conduit would you recommend?
Where are we going? Are we talking about the island?
So you don't have to shoot yourself in the foot 5 years from now when he wants to install more stuff.
If we're talking about the island, I would run three-quarter conduit. If we're talking about an overhead run from a new panel on the RV garage to the other side of the building, I'd run at least 1 inch.
Exactly. Wow. Yep.
Because I'm going to be able to get all the receptacle circuits in there, the lighting circuit, any switch legs that need to go in there, mm-hmm. and leave room, you know, for a little bit of a larger gauge wire later on.
And that's if we're talking about metal conduit.
Yeah.
Right? So if we're doing the underground for the house, I see primarily 3/4 inch. And if we end up running NM cable through there. So 1 inch, I think, is ideal because you can only get so much NM cable in a conduit anyway.
And 1 inch is still manageable with a hand bender.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah. And I mean, we're talking PVC in this case.
Yeah. But.
Okay, you guys are geniuses. We got it down, right?
Called prior planning prevents poor performance.
Okay. Or don't shoot yourself in the foot, according to Michael.
Shoot your future.
Oh, shoot your future in the foot. Just shoot your future. Do we get it?
Except the guy that installed that smaller conduit isn't around anymore.
Yeah. Most likely. And yeah. I'm the one that's got
it. Yeah, you have to fix it now.
Yep. Yeah. Just saw that the other day.
Oh, my gosh. So, Michael, how would a homeowner or somebody listening to our radio show or a contractor call you? How would they reach you and find you?
Right now, we're most active on Facebook. We do have a website. I'm not computer savvy, so it's not always updated.
And we should explain to the people the reason is not currently updated is because your chief updater has some other priorities going on right now.
Is 7.5 months pregnant.
So we're going to give her a break.
Yes. Thank you.
Okay. So I don't.
Phone number?
My phone number is 480-415-2894. Yeah, we'll take calls.
So here's your website, metal, M-E-T-A-L, clad, CLADAZ.com.
Yes.
Metalcladaz.com. Looking for a trusted electrician, Metal Clad Electrical specializes in both commercial and residential electrical services. No job is too small.
Not at all.
Perfect.
So there you are. Here's your website. It's all there. Oh, I'm looking at all this stuff you do. Holy moly. Smart home wiring, too?
Yes, ma'am.
Wow. Okay. Here's something else to bring to your attention. Landscape lighting.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. And lighting fixtures, exterior. You know that the county is implementing a dark sky ordinance. It's a big deal, buddy. You're going to have to pay attention.
I thought it had already been in place.
Oh, no. Oh, we changed the whole thing. We revamped the whole
ordinance.
Was it
2,000 lumens for 2 acres and above?
It's
20,000.
20,000, but we've revamped the whole thing.
Yeah. So there was dark sky, you're right, ordinance in
yes.
place.
Mm-hmm.
It's just been updated.
Okay.
Really updated. We have to take a break. When we come back, we will wrap up our show.
You're listening to Hammer Time, waking up with the YCCA, a presentation of the Yavapai County Contractors Association. Once again, here's your host, Sandy Griffiths.
You guys, thanks for being with Mike and me this morning. This was amazing.
Thanks for having us.
Did we talk about what you wanted to talk about?
Absolutely.
Phew, good, because I was afraid Mike just took over the whole show.
Countertop is my nemesis.
See,
the island, I should say.
Look at that. See, he says it now. Look at the hair on the back of his neck.
Yeah.
Okay, Michael, give your phone number out one more time for our listeners.
Phone number is 480-415-2894, metalcladelectricalaz.com, and metalcladelectrical on Facebook.
So anyway, keep up the good work. I'm happy that you're a YCCA member. I expect to see the two of you at the July 16th Lunch and Learn.
Yes, ma'am.
I'm making a reservation so you can come and have a slider.
Please and thank you.
Mike, perfect. Are you coming?
Absolutely.
I'll make your reservation. You can have a couple sliders and cookies. So listeners, call YCCA 778-0040. The rodeo starts Monday, June 30th. Happy 4th of July. Take care. Wear your seatbelt. Don't speed in the construction zone. Use your turn signal. Eat your leafy greens.
And smile.
And smile. And love one another. Okay? Life is great. We're happy to be here. Thanks for supporting YCCA. 778-0040. I'm Sandy.
I'm Mike.
I'm Joe.
Michael.
And we say bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Hammer Time.
Thank you for tuning in to Hammer Time. Waking up with the YCCA, a presentation of the Yavapai County Contractors Association. Heard each and every Saturday morning at 7, with an encore presentation Sunday mornings at 7 on AM 1130 by 99.9 FM in Prescott, 95.5 FM, Prescott Valley and Cottonwood, and online at kqna.com. A library of past Hammer Time shows can be listened to on the Yavapai County Contractors website at ycca.org.
Break it down!